One point, did I misunderstand at the beginning that the talk was originally given in Lao?
Yes, yes. That's actually Ajahn Chah's home language. The area that Ajahn Chah lived in spoke a Laotian dialect. So that it wasn't until after I first got there that he started speaking Thai more, because more Thai people were coming. I mean, it's close, but generally they can't understand each other. And but that would, when Ajahn Chah wanted to express himself, especially in something like this, then yeah, you definitely go into your home language. And I can remember that talk. Behind it there. What is it? It was like my voice. It's just like Kihai. It's like, yeah, it's just this. Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah. I was talking about the novices who at the working at the boat, who drank multiple cups of coffee, and there was a Ajahn Chah person. Stop. I'm gonna puke. I can't take anymore. So listening to talks in Lao is when Lopo really could express himself. I mean, he was very good at expressing himself in Thai, but when he was in the Lao language, then it's when it got really lively. I think there's a talk that it's in Bodhiana. I can't remember. Was it Two Faces of Reality? It's in that collection. That was from Lao, and I learned because I translated it, so I found it. I learned a lot of Lao just by translating that. And it was because I'd listened to the talk, and it was just everybody was enjoying it so much, and I could pick up about a quarter of what was going on. So I really want to know what he said. And it was just going through that talk. There's also part of the in that story there is Ajahn Chah over time would mention Jiaoku Na many, many times, because I think it was Jiaoku Na, as I said, it was a royal page, somebody who in 6th king's service, so when he ordained, one of the things that he did was he wrote a list of a few things that he would have for his meal, I guess, like from his family, I'm not quite sure, because he would have been from an influential family. This is what I would like to eat. And it was, that's the meal that he ate for, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years, however long he ordained. It was, that's what he ate. It was quite a simple meal. It's balanced. And then, he never left the monastery, never really left his kuti that much. But he'd come out and do the morning, evening pujas. He had a very strong chanting voice. So I knew people who would go to Wat Thep Sirin to meditate and chant with the Jiaoku Na. And they said he had this very strong chanting voice. And so this very strong presence. So that he inspired people. future generations. The what tapes are in is really in it's right on the edge of Chinatown, between Chinatown and the old part of Bangkok. somewhat close to the railway station.